Psalms number 34. I got three verses I want to share with you this morning. Psalms number 34, and we're reading verses 8 through 10. Psalms 34, verses 8 through 10. Thus read the word of the Lord. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. Blessed is the man who trusts in him.
Yeah.
Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." I want to, Jesse, for emphasis, look at that verse number 10 again. He says, the young lions suffer lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the foolishness of preaching to the saving of the soul. You said the man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you for meeting us this morning, for bringing the bread of life that we need. Thank you, Father God, for being what we need to satisfy our hunger. And we're just blessed and we honor you. In Jesus' name we do pray, let us all say amen. 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 I want to tag our time this morning. Good morning. Just from this thought, I want to talk about God's invitation to be blessed. God's invitation to be blessed. I want to just say parenthetically that when you get an opportunity, I would read Psalms number 34 in its entirety. It happens to be one of my favorites. Amen. It is one that starts with this proclamation: "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make up boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hereof be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us bless his name together." But I want to just look at verses 8 through 10 this morning for the sake of our time together. In verse number 8, we're giving an invitation to experience both the goodness and the blessings of God. He tells us very clearly in the text, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good." Can you say it would be good?
Good.
And so he says that he gives us an invitation to experience both the goodness of God and the blessings of God. You do know God is good. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says God's goodness is his complete and continuous benevolence towards us. In other words, God never means anything towards us for bad. It's always for good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a text. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift comes from above," amen, "comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadows of turning." God always means, amen, for our good. I don't care what happens in our lives. I don't care what show up. I don't care what's facing us or what we're facing. God always means it. What? For our, you say it with me, for our good.
Good.
Somebody say good.
Good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he says, God's blessings, his goodness and his blessings. God's blessings. Watch this now. Invitation to be blessed. Now people use that word blessed. We kind of throw that word around. But I want to tell you what it means to be blessed. When the Bible says be blessed, this is what the Bible means. The Bible means that when you're blessed, it means to be whole, complete, nothing missing, nothing lacking, and all things in order. Can I say that again? When God says you're blessed, he says you are whole. Somebody say whole.
Oh,
I'm complete. Somebody say complete.
Nothing
missing, nothing lacking, and all things in order. So when you're blessed, it means, watch this now, you got everything you need coming from you. You got God. Amen. So he says, this is an invitation, watch this now, to receive the goodness, amen, and the blessings of God. And he gives us the invitation. And the invitation is clear. This is what he said. Oh, taste and see. Oh, my God. Can you say that with me? Oh, taste and see. Now, when I read this, it would seem as though the text is saying to us,
Amen. You know, just taste. You know, just taste. I don't know if you ever been somewhere and somebody said, well, cook yourself. And then said, Phil, come in for me. Taste this and tell me what you think, right? And when they say taste, they don't give you a whole plate of it, dude. No, they didn't give you a spoonful. They give you a fork. They just give you a little bit, right? Right? So you can what? Taste it and what? And see. They used to do that at the mall, right? For the mall, they had a little flat up there, right? They had the chicken on the stick. And they said, oh, here you go. All right, right? So you taste it and see. Well, this is not what the Bible means. The Bible doesn't mean, like, take a little bit and tell me what you think. That's not what he's saying. When he says to taste something, he's talking about internalizing. In other words, when he talks about taste, he's talking about, amen, this that comes with a level of intimacy and trust. I don't know about you, right? But it takes a lot of intimacy and trust, amen, for somebody to give you something to eat. Can I get amen? My mama used to say it this way. You can't eat everybody's food. Can I get amen? Right, man? You can't go over and eat everybody green. You can't go over and eat everybody that you're dressing. And so when you decide that you're going to eat people's food, that's pretty intimate. You trusting them when you're willing to do what? To eat and consume their what? Their food. And so this is what the Bible is saying. He's saying, oh, taste and see. He is saying that we need to consume God with a level of intimacy and trust. He says, so tasting is no small thing. He ain't saying it like he go a little bit of God, try it out and tell me what you think. No. He's telling us to consume God, to trust him. Amen. To consume him wholly with intimacy and trust. Can you say it with me? Intimacy and trust.
Intimacy and trust.
So there's something intimate about eating and trusting that which someone gives you to eat. And so that old adage says, wait till a man's heart through his stomach. And so when you eat something, watch this now, a chemical reaction happens. It starts with the taste receptors, amen, on your tongue, amen. And then it stimulates areas in the brain. Come on, talk to me, somebody. If it don't taste good to the tongue, amen, it ain't going to feel good to the brain. Amen, praise the Lord. And then there's something you're going to go, This ain't just not good. This doesn't hear this. Tastes very good. Can I get amen? So when you taste something, that's gonna be an experience. And so the experience is gonna be like, ooh, that's good. Give me some more of that. Or it's gonna go, I didn't like that. Didn't it taste too good to me? You can keep that. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pray for. Now we might not say that, but the look on your face, they'll know it. Amen. Pray for good. And so what you're trying to say is when you experience this, right, whether it's pleasurable or not very pleasurable, it's an experience. Somebody said experience.
Experience.
Ah, somebody said yes, so what's an experience?
Experience.
Amen, praise the Lord. My wife and I have gone, amen, to restaurants, and we went to one particular restaurant here in Raleigh. Man, when I want to tell you, it was our anniversary, and they got us a nice booth in the corner, and the lights were turned down low, and they had some candles on the table. You remember this? Amen. Praise the Lord. We were just sitting there talking and just enjoying ourselves, and the waiter came over and said, "Good evening, girls. How are you? How can I help you today? Would you like to try this? Oh man, what a good experience. Amen, praise the Lord. And then the appetizers came. Oh my God. And we were just sampling the appetizers. We said, can you believe that this tastes so good? Amen. And then the meal came, and then we had the meal. And we got there saying, man, I tell you, boy, that was some kind of meal. And the meal was so good, I'm scared to go back. Because you know sometimes you have a good meal somewhere, then you go back.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's been pretty much, but it was a pleasurable experience, and I remember that. But I also remember the restaurants we went to.
Yeah.
Amen. That the people didn't wait on us very well. We had to wait on water. Amen. We couldn't get no bread. Food showed up cold. I remember those experiences as well. Because it left a, watch this now, it left a taste in my mouth. Ooh, did you get that? the experience, not for what bad. Come on, somebody, what taste it by mouth. That's what the Bible is trying to say here, that if you don't experience God, he said, God will leave you with an experience. He said, but you'll go, oh, my God is good. Somebody said, good.
Good.
Watch this now. So the Hebrew word, amen, to taste is ta'am. It means the capacity to choose and delight in good things, right? It means the ability to evaluate and discern. So when you see somebody, right, and you go to a party and they got on the wrong thing, y'all ever see somebody like that? They're going somewhere, they don't have the right clothes on for the event that they're going to.
Yeah.
Right? And they will wear something, watch this now, that's not tasteful. In other words, they didn't make the right decision about what to wear, and you go, oh, that wasn't in good taste. Amen. Their discernment was off. So when you experience God, not only does God leave you with a good experience, he says when you trust in God, God, amen, will bring you to a place where a better understanding. You'll understand God better, you'll understand yourself better, and God will need you with good taste and good discernment. And so he says, in order to be blessed, you got to be willing to consume God, not just taste God. Can I get an amen? I'm almost done my sermon. So here's what he's trying to understand. He said there's a difference between trying God and trusting God. Can I say it again? There's a difference in trying God and what?
Trusting God.
See, when somebody say, hey, try a little of this, you feel like, num, you didn't get a little taste of it. That's pretty good. That's pretty fine. You might need to add a little more salt to it. And that's kind of how people do God, tell you. Right? They just taste till they nibble long. Rather than sit down, and I'm kind of old school, so I'm kind of telling myself, y'all young people get better with me. But when I grew up in home, you couldn't run to the table and get a little bite and then go run play and then come back and eat a little bit more. My mama didn't play the pot, my mama didn't play the juice. You had to call somebody. You had to sit down. At the table. You had to sit down at the table and eat what she prepared. Can I get that right? You didn't just try a little bit and go to build something up. No, you're going to sit down and eat these mashed potatoes and these greens and then your smothered liver. You're going to sit down and eat because mama didn't play. Amen. Nibbling on her food. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
That's how some people are with God. They just nibble on God. Y'all just gonna nibble on it. You know about that? He was talking about the church down the street. They just nibble on God. I'm gonna get a little bit in today. I'm gonna get a little bit in my next week. I'm gonna get a little bit in my Bible study. I'm just gonna nibble a little bit. I'm gonna read my word a little bit today, and I ain't gonna pick it up till next month. They nibble. But what I found out about nibbling is you can nibble all day, but you'll never get full. Can I get that right there? No, you only get full when you sit down and consume the whole meal. And that's what the psalmist is trying to get us to understand. When he says, oh, taste and see, he said you got to sit down with God and experience God as the whole. Experience of God completely. He said, don't just nibble on God. He said, eat the whole meal. Somebody said, eat the whole meal.
Eat the whole meal.
There's a difference between trying and trusting.
Yes.
So when we try God, amen, a whole lot of people don't go to church no more because they tried God. I tried it, but it didn't work. I tried to believe, but it didn't work out. I tried church, amen, but it didn't work out for me. I tried, but you don't try God, you trust him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so when we try God, we bring our will and our agenda to God, expecting, watch this now, God to prove himself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You ever know anybody like that? They looking over for God to what? Prove himself. Amen. An example of this attitude is found in the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. I know you read it. When Jesus fed, amen, the multitude with two small fish and five little tea cakes. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Amen. Look, he took two sardines, amen, and five Hawaiian biscuits, amen, praise the Lord, and fed the whole multitude. Everybody remember reading this?
Yeah.
Amen, praise the Lord. And the people just, oh, man, that was good. But that's what he did on one day. And then on the next day, they were trying to find him again. And they were like, oh, Jesus, oh, man, how's everything going? And Jesus said, you follow me because I fed you. Come on with me, somebody. Amen. He said, you're just simply following me because I fed you. He said, but you need to seek bread, amen, he said, that lasts throughout eternity. He said, in other words, you ain't going to make it on them two small sardines and them five loaves I fed you yesterday. He said, you need to consume me totally that you will never hunger again.
Yeah.
Watch this now. And then they had the nerve, y'all. I'm almost done. These people had the nerve that after Jesus fed them with two small fish and five little barley loaves, right? On Monday, they had nerve enough on Tuesday, watch this now, to go to Jesus and say, so Jesus, what you gonna do today that we can believe on you? But what miracle you gonna do today? Now he fed them with a miracle on Monday.
Right.
But they looking for another miracle on. Come on, with somebody. You with me today? You understand what I'm saying? He fed them with a miracle on Monday, but then they looking for something else on Tuesday. That's what's happened with people when they try God and not trust Him. Because God is always on probation in their mind. They just forget about what He did last month. They forget about what He did last year. They still say, but God, what you gonna do for me today? How you gonna bless me today? And if God don't perform today, amen, they are through with it. But that's what it means to try God. But what it means to trust Him. The Bible says, blessed is the man, here it is, who trusts. Somebody say trust. Oh, after that preaching today, he said, blessed is the man who trusts in God. And that word trust means to take one's refuge. It means the man that trusts God, watch this now, have made the decision that God is going to be his refuge. I don't care what happened. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care, man, whether it's raining. I don't care whether it's sunshine. I don't care whether things go well. I don't care whether things go bad. This person has made the decision that regardless of the circumstance, he's going to trust God. Do I have anybody in the house today who has made that decision? No matter what comes my way, I've made the commitment that I'm going to do what? Trust God. I'm not going to try. I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to make God, watch this, my refuge. And so no matter what comes in my life, it made me listen. Things might be going well, but they might not be going well. And I might be happy, that might be sad. Might have a lot of money, might have more money than I got money. But either way, I made the decision that I'm not going to try God. I'm going to what? Trust Him. Somebody said trust in the Lord. And so that's what it means to trust. He said, I'm gonna trust God. Trying God, testing Him out. The kind of like I'm going to see. Amen, praise the Lord. I'm gonna see if this table can hold. I'm gonna see if this will hold my iPad. No. Trusting means you just put your full weight on it. Tell you, amen. That's what God is saying. You just rest in it. Put your full weight on it. Just let God hold you. Let God hold you up. Don't try to do it yourself. Just trust in God. Just sit down and let God hold you up. Tell you, amen.
Amen.
Go home. But here's the promise as I close. He says, there's a promise God gives to us who will trust Him. And he says this, he says in Psalm 30:14 at the close. He said, the young lions, he says, lack and suffer hunger. Let me put a pin right there. Let me tell you what he's saying. He says, the young lions lack and will suffer. Now, what the scripture is trying to get us to understand, give us illustration, is that if there's any animal that's probably don't be able to have all that he needs. He said, it's the young lion. He said, oh, he said, the young lion. He said, the young lion who's got the ability to hunt, the young lion whose eyes got keen eyesight, he still got keen smell, and he still got keen hearing. He said, but the problem is, he said, that ain't enough. And what he's trying to do is trying to use the illustration of the lion to tell us we can't do it on our own. That's really what he's saying. He's saying you can't do this with your own strength. You can't do this with your own mind. You can't do this with your own determination. He says, no, he says, it doesn't happen because of self, amen, determination. He says, but those who seek the Lord, he says, shall not lack any good thing. Oh, my God. And so what God is trying to get us to understand is if we would taste him, if we will intimately receive him, if we will seek him with our whole heart, what God is trying to say is, he said, there's no situation where you're going to lack any good thing. Somebody say, I don't lack anything. Watch this now. He said, if we taste him intimately. I got a song for you. No problem. Psalm 34:4. The Bible said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And so when you trust in God, there won't be any lack. Amen. Now, I didn't say there wouldn't be any trouble, but I said there won't be no lack. I didn't say there won't be any hardship, but I said there won't be any lack. Can I get amen? Amen. Oh, y'all, help me close. Now, I didn't say trouble won't come. I just said there won't be any what? Any lack. Yeah. Remember what I told you what it means to be blessed? Amen. To be blessed means to be what? It means to be whole. Amen. Complete. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Watch this. And all things in order. When you are blessed, you already have everything you need because you already have Jesus. Oh, somebody want to say amen right there? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us, amen, hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You want to say that today? I got everything I need. And he said, those that trust in God, he said, watch this now, will suffer no lack. And so that means, watch this now, that I'll never be in want. I have some trouble in my life, but I won't be in want. I might have some money problems. I might have some struggles financially, but I'll never be in want. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you know that? Because Psalms number 23, y'all know this one. Amen. Verse number 1 says, the Lord, come on somebody, is my shepherd, and I what shall not say that word, want. And what he's trying to get you to understand is, he said, because God is my shepherd. He said, I know somehow, some way, God's going to make a way out of no way. Somebody ought to say amen up here today. Amen. Frankly, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know if he's going to do it. I don't know who he's going to send, but I know one thing. God told me in his word, amen, if I seek him with my whole heart, he said, I shall lack no good thing. And I want you to know today that you've got everything you need in Christ Jesus. Somebody always say yes.
Yes.
Amen. I got to go home. And he said, we are sad. He said, we will laugh. And I love this word. He says, no good thing. Somebody say good thing. You know what he really trying to tell us something? He said, you might not like it. He said, but you don't want it so good. Amen. Praise God. You may not understand it when you're going through it. He said, but this is what you're going to realize. You're going to realize God was working to you. Good. Files are good.
Good.
Amen. God is good. Amen. And his mercy doeth to all generation. It always works for your sin with me. Come on. Good. Amen. I may not understand it. I may not see the complete picture. But if I trust in God, amen, and let God have his way in my life, when I look back over my life, when I see things over, I can see how God has blessed me along the way. And that which I thought was bad, I look back and I say, oh, but God was good. Somebody say good. Romans 8:28, he said, for we know that all things work together for the what? For the good of them who love God and to those who are called according to him. Amen. His purpose. And that means we might not understand it all, but God will always take us through it all. He said he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. He said, not only will I not forsake you, he said, but the thing that you thought, amen, was the worst thing that could ever happen to you. God said, I have the ability to make that thing work to your good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lord, I didn't think that a bankruptcy could work to my good. I didn't think, oh God, Father God, that losing certain things could work to my good. I didn't know, Father God, when I was going through the storm that would came out on the other side, that I'm going to be stronger than I was when I was going through. I didn't know, God, that it was going to work for my good. But God, did I look over my life and see what God has done? Thank you, God, because I'm not who I was going into the storm, but I'm better than I was coming out. He worked it to my good. Somebody say to my good. Come on, let's get God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're still here today, you can still hear the sound of my voice. You know what that means? That means you have survived every storm that you've gone through. Oh, I got to say it again. If you can hear my voice this morning, that means every storm you've gone through, God brought you out. That means every trouble came your way. Amen. God met you in the midst of that trouble. Every storm, every trial, every temptation, every setback, every pain, and we're still here. Amen. Not only does that mean that God stayed with us, but that also means that God has purpose for us. And we're not here by happenstance, but we're here by the divine providence of God. And God still has a purpose for our lives. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to tell this your opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. It's never too early, never too late. Jesus said, amen, that he who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's his promise to us.